How do you get major corporations to stop funding Planned Parenthood or convince hotel chains to remove pornography from their properties? It's all spelled out in the book, Biblically Responsible Investing. But be warned, reading it could ruin your life for the better. Today, host Rob West chats with the author Robert Netsley about a movement that's shaking up some of the world's largest companies. Then it's your calls at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Biblically Responsible Investing, that's next on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, our guest, Robert Netsley, is CEO of Inspire Investing, and about a decade ago, he was enjoying the finer things of life out in California when he experienced something of a Damascus Road experience.
That's right, and it's an incredible story. I'm delighted that our listeners will hear it today. Robert, thanks for being with us on MoneyWise.
It's my pleasure, Rob. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, your book, as Steve said, Biblically Responsible Investing, begins with the remarkable story of the day your life changed. Everything was going great for you, and then you decided to do a Google search. Pick it up there and tell us the story.
Yeah, it was quite the experience. I was happy as a clam, really, where I was working there at Wells Fargo. Nice little drive down the coast every morning, second-story office overlooking the beach. Life was good. But as the Lord often does, he kind of shook me out of that comfort zone, and I stumbled across this whole concept of biblically responsible investing really by accident. Just one day online looking for a Bible study, and biblically responsible investing being this practice of looking at not only the moral aspect, the financial aspect, but the moral aspect of what you're invested in. And I had never thought about that before from a biblical perspective. And when I started looking into my own investments and the investments of my clients, really the Holy Spirit just gripped my heart on it. Because here I was, the president of our local pro-life pregnancy center, and I discovered I owned three stocks of companies that are manufacturing abortion drugs. And from that point on, I couldn't invest the same ever again.
Yeah. Well, you were on the front end of what has become a pretty significant movement, both in the faith world with faith-based or faith-driven investing, as well as on the secular front with what are called ESG funds, which together are receiving just incredible attention right now and incredible flows around these sustainable and environmentally and biblically sound investment options. And we like to say this is a conviction matter, whether you want to avoid certain companies like Robert's talking about today. You want to embrace certain companies for what they're doing to engage the world biblically or otherwise, or you want to engage as a shareholder. There are great options today that didn't exist years ago. And Robert, you really embarked on this with nothing, not a single client. Talk to us about that step of faith you took.
Well, after I just received this conviction and just couldn't do my job really anymore, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I didn't think I could stay in the business. I'd never met anybody doing what we do now. And so I just went home and told my wife, hey, honey, I think the Lord's calling us somewhere else. Here's what I found. And she's like, well, we got two babies and a mortgage, so what's the plan? And so I'm like, I don't have a plan. Let's just start praying. And I was really close going to seminary and being some sort of vocational pastor. Sure. You know, the only other option I could think of was I would have to leave the bank, start an independent firm that only did biblical investing, but that was crazy because I didn't have any money or experience or network or, you know, anything that you quote unquote have to do something like that. And much to my chagrin, as we prayed, the Lord made it abundantly clear that's exactly what he was calling me to do in an unmistakable fashion. And so about a couple months later, made the incredible frightening decision to leave my safe, secure job there at the bank, left my clients there with the team I'd been with previously, and started over from scratch, just me and a laptop. Really no idea what I was doing other than I knew this is what God was calling me to do, and the rest is history.
Yeah. We've got just about 30 seconds before our first break, and then we'll continue the story. But give us an example of how you've seen God at work as you set out on this leap of faith.
Well, he's provided all along the way. I mean, from day one, when I started sharing the story of biblically responsible investing and what the Lord had opened my eyes to, I've seen him open the eyes of thousands, literally, at this point, tens of thousands of Christian investors to an opportunity to glorify God in a new and very meaningful, impactful way. And he's working all over the globe. So we're seeing him work every day. Mm.
Robert Netzley is the CEO of InspireInvesting.com. He's our guest today, helping you understand what they do, how to invest wisely and biblically. And we'll be back with more after this.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Max McLean. How can we share with others the blessings God has given to us? Listen to the Bible from 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. From 1 Peter 3, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Be able to hear the Word of God today and every day. Hear more at radiobible.org. That's radiobible.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Glad to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and our guest is Robert Netzley. Robert is CEO of Inspire Investing, and we're discussing the topic, which happens to be the same title of his book, Biblically Responsible Investing, and you'll find it available on Amazon if you want to check that out.
So, Robert, you're working in the investment space through a large bank. You have this conviction, really God just pricks your heart around the investments that your clients were making, and often in companies that were either actively involved in or using corporate profits to support things that conflicted with your and perhaps their values. So you set out without any clients and without a whole lot of funding to start an investment firm that approached things somewhat differently. You call it biblically responsible investing. And give us an example of how you differ at Inspire from other investment firms, Christian or secular?
Well, with Inspire Investing, we really take 1 Corinthians 10:31 at face value. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so our heartbeat here is to invest God's money, because it's all God's money, according to God's values, for God's glory and for our joy. And it's not a legalistic burden. It's an invitation to invest for His glory and to really be intentional about selecting companies for our portfolios that are aligned with God's heart for His creation. These are businesses of blessing that are really a blessing to the people that use their products, to the people that work for their companies, the people that live in the communities where these companies do business, as opposed to the companies we avoid, you know, companies of curse, if you want to use that term, would it produce products or services that harm the people that use them or just operate unethically? And so there's so many ways that we can integrate this real biblical worldview into our investment practices. And that's what we seek to do. So really just trying to, avoid the problematic companies out there, but it's so much more than that because we're really looking for those most positive, most inspiring companies, most biblically aligned companies in the world to invest in.
Yeah. Talk to us about that, because you use a three-pronged approach to your investing that seems to cover perhaps many of the ways Christians should approach investing, where they can allow their values, their conscience, or you could say convictions, to be reflected accurately in the investments they're choosing using your approach. So describe that three-pronged approach you take.
Yeah. So first, we embrace companies that are, again, operating in line with biblical values. So we really look for those companies that are being a blessing in a variety of ways. Secondly, we also engage with companies that maybe have a little work to do. They're overall a decent company, but maybe there's some areas where we would like to see some change in a corporate policy, or maybe where they're donating corporate funds or certain products that they may be promoting, or something like that. And then third, we do exclude. So if there's a company, for instance, manufacturing abortion drugs or selling pornography or any number of other things, we certainly exclude those from the portfolio. And so that's our three-pronged approach: embrace, engage, and exclude.
Yeah, very good. And what's interesting is, as I mentioned, you know, this is getting a lot of attention among investors and even in the financial media, as we're seeing large inflows into these types of investments, be it on the secular side with what's called ESG, environmental, social, and governance investment options, as well as on the faith side through faith-based investing with these solutions like you're describing today. How has the mainstream media responded to the success that's happening across the board, and then in particular with what's happening at Inspire?
Well, you know, we're flattered that the mainstream media has taken an interest in us. I mean, we were kind of surprised, you know, this little startup firm out here in the Silicon Valley a number of years ago. But God has really blessed us with a lot of growth. And, you know, we're racing our way towards $1 billion, God willing, this year under management. And, you know, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, Bloomberg, I mean, they've all written numerous stories on us, some of them quite cynical, as you might imagine. Sure. Others sort of, it's like we're this oddity, you know, these money managers that love Jesus and talk about him all the time. And so it's an opportunity that I see to just really get the word out about glorifying God. I mean, that's our purpose in life, is to glorify God with everything we've got. And, you know, if the Wall Street Journal wants to do an interview with me and I get to talk about that, yeah, I don't really care what else they say about me, as long as I get to exalt my Savior in front of the world.
Yeah, well, I know you've actually rung the bell there on Wall Street when some of your ETFs have launched. I know you've also gotten some attention with some of your ticker symbols. One of them happens to be ticker symbol WWJD, which has a really cool approach to it. And so I'm sure that's helped with some of the media attention you've gotten. Let's dive into some of the details. First of all, you know, there's a belief on the part of investors that if you want to invest this way, as you're describing, and be selective, either opting into certain companies because of the good they're doing or avoiding other companies, that you have to sacrifice return. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's really a misnomer. And that that idea isn't just specific to faith-based investing, but generally like any sort of responsible investing, secular or otherwise. It's kind of an older idea that if you know, limit, so to speak, the investment universe that you're using by excluding certain companies or focusing on others, that, you know, you're probably going to miss out on returns. However, all the institutional research coming out these days from the likes of Oxford University and Morgan Stanley and McKinsey and Company and so many others, Biola University from the Christian academic perspective, is proving that, you know, there is no trade-off. You do not have to sacrifice performance to invest with good values. And in fact, many of these studies are showing that when you invest in companies that operate with a higher degree of ethics and moral integrity, they tend to do better than companies that don't. And it's obviously not a guarantee of anything, but that's what the studies are finding on a broad basis, and which, you know, is fuel to the fire for the whole movement of people changing the way they invest. And certainly as the faith-based community is waking up to that opportunity, we're seeing massive adoption right now as Christians are changing, you know, changing their investments wholeheartedly to honor the Lord.
Robert, how do you get this data? How are you able to extract information that allows you to do this screening so effectively?
Well, we really rely on technology, and you know, many years ago, it would be impossible to have the level of data that's available to us now. And so using artificial intelligence-driven technology that scrubs the web for any public mentions of corporate actions, philanthropy, I mean, there's databases everywhere these days and transparency like there never has been before. And so the challenge is really not whether the data is available, but really collecting it and sifting it, and that's where technology comes into play. So we've built a program called InspireInsight.com. It's free to use online, InspireInsight.com, where anybody can go day or night and type a ticker symbol in of a stock, mutual fund, or ETF and see all the good, the bad, and the ugly of what the companies that they're invested in are doing from a biblical perspective, also an environmental or social or corporate governance perspective, and making that freely available.
That's great. Robert, there's so much more to cover. We'll have to have you back. Thanks for being with us today on MoneyWise.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We've been speaking with Robert Netzley today, CEO of InspireInvesting.com. His book is Biblically Responsible Investing. You'll find it available on Amazon. This is MoneyWise Live.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
God causes all things to conspire for our good. Everything that makes up your all. They group together, have a group meeting with God, and they conspire how they can work together for your good and for my good. And it'll never be the way we would have expected, perhaps. You know, I thought to myself as I was preparing for this lesson, surely nothing frustrates the enemy more than this. Once we're saved, once he's lost us, think about how frustrating it is to him that if we would believe God, we would see this every time. And the psalmist says, and I've prayed it back on the enemy so many times, the psalmist constantly talks about his enemy being caught in the snare that he set, that was set for him. I pray that back on the enemy continually, that whatever he set for me, I pray he'll get caught in it. I want him to be sorry he messed with me. And that's the way the enemy sets a snare for you, but he gets his own ankle caught in it. And it turns back on him every single time. Because what was meant, I promise you that this was meant to make you bitter, angry, spin out of control, addicted, compulsive, all of every, it was meant for our defeat. That's what the enemy is after. But God has caused it to conspire for our good. And if we will believe him, we will see that lived out. If not sooner, glory to God later. Glory to God ultimately.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, if the money from the Nigerian prince hasn't cleared your bank account yet, or the folks from Publishers Clearing House haven't shown up at your front door, well, life goes on and you have bills to pay and a future to plan for. And that's why we're here today on MoneyWise Live to help you be the best manager of the money you do have. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And we're taking your calls today on any financial topic at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Rob, should we dive in, sir? What do you think?
I think that's a great idea, Steve. Absolutely.
Well, let's do it. Okay. Noblesville, Indiana. Hi, Charles. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a thank you for taking my call. I have a question about annuity. I'm thinking about taking $50,000 out of my annuity and put it into my wife's name in her account, and she would get an annuity for the same amount. And I was just wondering, that way I would get a higher rate, plus I could get an index annuity. And also, I wouldn't have to make a minimum distribution for 10 years, or she wouldn't have to make a tax payment for 10 years until she's ready to use it. And I was just wondering, how did that sound to do something like that?
Yeah. Let me ask you, Charles, from a tax standpoint, I mean, you can't roll over an annuity, but you can do an exchange for a comparable annuity under the Section 1035. Is that what you're thinking from a tax standpoint, or would you be taking a withdrawal and creating a taxable event?
Well, I would. Well, that's what I'm glad you said that. What was that again?
Well, I would check with your CPA or tax preparer. I mean, generally speaking, and I'm not a CPA, and you need to look at your specific situation and the annuity that you have. But normally you would consider an annuity to be a pre-taxed in vehicle, which means that when you take a withdrawal, you're going to create a taxable event. Now, there is a provision that allows you to exchange an annuity one for another. And so you could look at that and basically doing a transfer. You could also, you know, you do have the option in some cases to, you know, roll it out. But in this case, you'd probably be doing a transfer. That would be my main concern. In addition to taxes, you'd want to understand any surrender penalties that you have. But I think before even that, you need to look at what are you trying to accomplish? What is the purpose of moving this one to another? Is it to improve the returns? Are you even best using an annuity moving forward? Or should you, you know, be investing outside of an annuity in another type of vehicle? I think those are all considerations to look at, but I certainly wouldn't neglect looking at the tax implications of whatever you're doing, and so you'd want to start with your CPA or tax preparer.
Okay, because as it is now, I know I would have to pay taxes on that the money I'm taking off from the annuity, and I have kind of looked at that. But I wasn't aware of that I could have it transfer some type of way. And you said that ruling was that?
Well, you'd want to look at, yeah, it's a 1035. You normally hear about that in relation to real estate, but the same provision, it can be applied in an annuity situation. So again, I'd check with your tax preparer, see what options are there, and see if you can defer that taxable event and improve your situation in terms of the overall investment results and the interest you're receiving.
Right now, and my annuity, it's just at a really low rate. 2%, and it's been like that for 10 years or more. And I was going to change it or take it out and then go to a rate that would be paying three times that much. And also, my spouse would not have to take out a that minimal distribution for tax for about 10 years.
Right. Yeah. And so all of those are things to look at. You also may benefit, Charles, from sitting with a certified kingdom advisor, somebody who can really go through your entire situation, look at your investment strategy, look at your tax picture, look at the plans you have to make the resources you have not only grow at a rate that's appropriate without taking too much risk, but that you're preserving what you have so it'll last throughout the rest of your life. If you've not done that, I think you'd get some real value out of some comprehensive financial planning. You could find a certified Kingdom Advisor there in Indiana. When you go to our website, moneywiselive.org, just click on Find a CKA. But we appreciate your call today, sir.
Thank you, Charles. Let's continue. Chicago, Illinois. Darren, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, guys. I did talk to you yesterday. I was the one that talked to you about that pension payout I could take and then possibly paying off a mortgage and a car, and then I'd have some extra money. But I also... And you told me I had to consider being, I want to be debt-free or if I want the higher pension amounts later on down here. I was wondering, are there any retirement investments? If I was to pay off the home, get debt-free, then I'd have this extra income. And, of course, after giving to the Lord's work like I always do anyways, I would seek, you know, want to put this someplace. Hopefully, I don't know, tax exempt, and is would there be penalties when I did get it? I don't know what kind of vehicles are out there once you're retired if you have some extra money, like from the sale of a house or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, Darren, there are options to look at. I mean, generally what you'd want to be looking at in terms of an investment mix, and I would encourage you to seek the counsel of a professional, but just generally speaking, you'd want to take that income portion of your portfolio and probably pair together some higher yield bonds with municipal bonds, which have some favorable tax treatment. And another option that folks will look at in this period or season would be what are called preferred securities. They're a type of kind of hybrid security with characteristics of both stocks and bonds. Again, they're called preferred securities, and it has to do with being paid extra for subordination because they have a lower claim on the company's assets in the event of a liquidation. But the benefit is you get a higher yield on them, and you have favorable tax treatment. It's treated as a qualified dividend, and so it's taxed generally at a lower rate. If you want to check with a certified Kingdom Advisor there in Chicago, go to our website, moneywiselive.org, find a CKA. I think you also could benefit from some counsel, but hopefully that gives you some ideas on where you can look to improve your yield but not take unnecessary risk.
Darren, great to hear from you. Thank you very much for calling in today. Here's our phone number if you'd like to chat with Rob West, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hey, this is Chris Brooks, and I'm so excited to share the Moody Radio Verse of the Week, which is found in Philippians 2, 1 and 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and of one mind. That's Philippians 2, 1 and 2, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is calling it a new era in Israel's relations with the Arab world, as full diplomatic ties will be established with the United Arab Emirates. President Trump tweeted the announcement today. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Slovenia to make the case for high-speed wireless networks that bar Chinese companies like Huawei. Pompeo has signed a joint declaration to 5G clean and security network that aims to keep untrusted vendors out. The FBI joining Lebanese and other international investigators in the probe of the August 4th explosion at Beirut's port that killed more than 170 people and injured thousands. On Wall Street, stocks were mixed. The Dow dropped 80 points today. The Nasdaq gained 30. The S&P was down 7. This is SRN News.
Hey, we hope you're having a great day wherever you are. We hope you're having a fun day. I've just been informed our technical staff, behind the scenes, of course, are having loads of fun. We don't know what that's about, but we have our research team on that. We don't want to have too much fun, do we, Rob? I mean, this is not about fun. This is serious
I'm
stuff.
I'm all about fun here the studio. Yeah, so no problem.
All right, well. I'll have Rich Rosel dig us up some hats and horns so we can move in that direction today. Pemberton, New Jersey. Hello, Carol. How can we help?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm wondering your thoughts on giving a tithe on inheritance since it's not income per se.
Yeah. Carol, I love that you're asking this question. And obviously, you want to honor the Lord or you wouldn't be calling on this issue. You know, when we look at this area of giving, this is clearly on the heart of God. I mean, we should be givers. We should hold what we have, His resources that we're managing, we should hold them loosely. And one of the ways we can really reflect God's character is by being generous to meet the needs of others around us and give to the local church and help to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we do all of that through our giving. And so I believe we should be looking for opportunities to give, not just the tithe, but even beyond the tithe, sacrificially. Now, you asked specifically about the tithe, and really when we go to the principle of the tithe, which we see clearly demonstrated in the Old Testament, referred to in the New, even though we're no longer under the law, and some will say, well, that still doesn't apply. I think it's a great starting point. So if we look at that principle, it was the idea of giving a tenth of your increase. Now, your increase in the Bible times could have been on a crop. Today, your increase could be any number of ways. Most notably, we typically have income, but it goes beyond that. And so whatever your increase is that the Lord brings your way, in my view, from whatever means, and certainly an inheritance is an increase, then you would give right off the top the first and the best back to the Lord. And I would do that to the local church, just as we see that modeled in Scripture. So if you wanted to honor the principle of the tithe, again, not out of compulsion or not because you want to check a box, but just because you want to give off the top, I would say, yeah, an increase would include an inheritance, and you could make that gift. But at the end of the day, I think that's between clearly you and the Lord. So pray through that and then follow His leading in whatever direction you think that is.
That sound good, Carol?
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much. Denton, Tennessee. Hello, Tim. Welcome to MoneyWise.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Go right ahead.
My question is about the high rate or high yield savings accounts that are offered by Citi, card, those type of things, and the wisdom of using those.
Yeah. You know, I like high yield savings. You're typically going to find them on the online banks. Now, Citi obviously is a brick and mortar bank, but they're offering an accelerated savings option depending upon where you live. It's not available everywhere, but certainly they do make it available some places. And, you know, I think that's a great option. I would always be looking with your savings to be able to maximize the return. I would make sure you're with a bank where you're going to get FDIC insurance. But beyond that, I think you should be looking for the best rate. I don't know that Citi has the best rate out there right now. It's certainly higher than all the brick and mortar banks. But, you know, right now you can get about 1%. I've seen as high in the last week, 1.05. We're no longer seeing 1.5% or 2% really on savings accounts. But that's pretty good in this low, low interest rate environment. The thing I would be careful of, though, is where there's a fee. And my understanding is that that Citi Accelerated Savings does have a monthly fee unless you keep a minimum account balance. So I would just watch that because there are plenty of options out there where you can get a bit more than that and you don't have to pay a fee. So I'd be looking at Marcus. I'd look at Ally Bank. I'd look at Capital One 360. There's also some great rates right now through Discover as well as American Express. They all have high yield savings options. A great place, Tim, for you to compare these high-yield savings options is a website called Bankrate, bankrate.com. I'd go there, click on savings, and it'll show you, after you get through kind of the sponsored ads, it'll show you a comparison of the very best rates out there, and then you can go check them out. But as long as you have FDIC insurance, as long as you're not paying fees and you understand if there's any minimum balances, then I'd be comfortable with you proceeding with any of those.
And Rob, typically there are three banks that you mentioned. We have no professional relationship with them, but there are three banks that typically offer the best in the market, even though the best these days seems to pale in comparison to where we were even a month ago. What are those three?
Yeah, the ones I just mentioned, Ally, Capital One 360, Marcus would all be great options. Citi would certainly be up there. Discover, the high yield from American Express, any of those. But Bankrate.com is a great way to track who's offering the best rate today. Now, keep in mind, with these savings accounts, these rates are moving all the time. So the bank that has the best rate today may not have it next week. So just realize these are moving targets. But as long as you go with any of those three, I think you'll be in good shape.
All right, great. And Tim, great question. Thank you very much. Again, our phone number, if you have a question today for Rob West, anything financial, give us a call right now because we have several open lines. One of those must be just for you. 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. Apollo Beach, Florida. Gail, thanks for calling in today. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a widow, and I inherited a small amount from my dad, which I use the interest from each year as a supplement for my expenses. This year, the CD matured, and, of course, the interest rate dropped down the tube. And so I've been looking at money market savings accounts, high-yield savings accounts, CDs, everything. The one thing that I found that could be comparable was a fixed annuity. I found one that's for 4 years, guaranteed at 3%. You can draw the interest out, actually a little more than the interest, but the interest would be all I wanted each year and that there were no fees. My question is this. I understand that the security behind, any security behind a fixed annuity is based on the state rather than the government, as federal government, as it is for a CD. So I have read through for the state of Florida all the information I could find online twice, and the bottom line to my question is, can you tell me in 3 to 5 steps that how we could reach a point where I could lose my principal if I invested in this? And also, I wanted to find out, what does this So, in other words, what does this risk depend on? I know it has to do with the strength of the insurance company because all of these seem to be through insurance companies.
Right.
And so what I wanted to find out, because I have no intentions of losing my principal, but right now it's getting no interest, and unfortunately everything else has gone up very much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I certainly understand that, Gail. And it's one of the downsides to being in this low interest rate environment. It works in our favor when we're borrowing, but we want to get to a place where we don't have to borrow. We want to be debt free. And where it hurts you is on the interest and the investment side, because you're not getting these rates that you would prefer to have when you're looking for a bit more money. Where that would hurt you is with an insurance company failure. When an insurance company fails and goes into liquidation, the state's insurance guarantee fund will try to transfer policies to another stable insurance company, or it could be administered by the central guarantee fund. It's very low risk, though. Hang on the line. We'll talk some more, and we'll be right back.
We will indeed. This is MoneyWise Live.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. Whether or not you're excited over the possibility that we've entered into the end times will tell you where your heart is and possibly who your God is. When the things of this world are a bigger attraction to you than entering eternity and seeing God face to face, something's wrong. The old gospel song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," should be our theme song for life. Because when we're living our lives for eternity, we're living them on earth differently and holding them loosely with the priority of getting as many of our friends and loved ones and even strangers we meet during the course of every day into heaven before the rapture occurs and they're left behind. And when you do that, God promises to fill every day of your life with joy. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Billy Graham talks about driving.
I read about a woman who tried her driver's test for the 38th time and failed. And perhaps you've tried nearly that many times for a license spiritually, to sit in the driver's seat of your own life. I'm asking you to move over and trust the Holy Spirit to drive and control your life. You can be alive right now physically, but your soul is dead. Your spirit is dead, and you keep searching for something and you can't find it. You'll never find what you're looking for in life till you come to the cross of Christ and are born again. Do you know Christ? Are you sure? God can give you a whole new life, a transformation that you never dreamed existed, if you let Him.
Discover how you can let God get behind the wheel of your life at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Well, just before the break, we were speaking with Gail, calling from Apollo Beach, Florida. She's wondering about a fixed annuity or some other areas where she might be able to invest and maximize what she does have, what she's gotten from her dad in the past, Rob?
Yeah, Gail, thanks for holding through the break there. And, you know, what I would say is whenever you're taking on an annuity, you are, in fact, transferring the risk away from the stock market and the investment returns and to an insurance company. And to your question about what level of risk is involved in that, it really comes down to the solvency of the insurance company itself. Although it's rare, insurance companies do fail. I wouldn't be something I would be counting on, especially if you go in looking at a company, looking at its rating, making sure that its strength is solid. It's a large, reputable company. But in the event it went into liquidation, you're right. The state's insurance guarantee fund would kick in. They'd try to transfer that policy. But if not, it would be administered by the state. And when a state guarantee fund takes over an insurance or annuity policy, it is subject to the coverage limitations set by each state. So you'd have to look at your state. I would say, though, again, that risk is low. And so you certainly could look at an annuity product. You know, they're not my favorite solution. You know, they certainly do provide, in some cases, a higher rate of return. And you transfer that risk, again, away from yourself to the insurance company. They have limited inflation protection, though, so that's something to be considered. Loss of flexibility would be another issue, just because, you know, once you put it into the policy, you know, you have certain limitations on how you access that fund without a penalty. They can be expensive as well. In addition to the surrender charges, you have the mortality and expense and administration fees. You also have commissions often associated with annuities as well. And there's some cases you'll find teaser rates with fixed annuities. That means they'll guarantee a certain return for a short period of time, but then reduce it after years. And then you're stuck at that point with a low return unless you back out of the policy. So I think you just have to go in with your eyes wide open, understand what you're getting, make sure it fits your needs in terms of providing the returns you need so that you can get the income you need from those assets. Another option might be to connect with an investment professional who could build a portfolio where you've got a mix, a small allocation to stocks for a little bit more growth potential, coupled with bonds and potentially even preferred securities, where they could build a balanced portfolio of stocks and bonds and other fixed income type investments with a portion of cash so that you could weather the storm if the stock market was down for a prolonged period, even 2 or 3 years. And that might give you the flexibility you want, keeping access to your capital, but getting that return up just a bit so you're not having to settle for those low yields that you might find with CDs. So I think either an annuity, given the considerations I said, or visiting with an investment professional to look at how you might build a portfolio that meets your needs, and keeping access to your capital would probably be the two best options.
Well, let's say Gail wants to do the latter recommendation, which was visit with a professional, but she's not sure she wants to sign up. She'd just like an hour of someone's advice and then be able to mull that over and make a choice or a decision. What could she expect to find when she does that? I mean, can you ask, can I pay for an hour of your time? Is that permissible?
Well, yeah, sure. It just depends on the investment professional or financial planner. In many cases, there are hourly planners that where you would go in and based on a specific engagement to evaluate your financial situation, evaluate your investments, you'd pay a fixed dollar amount based on the amount of time it will take. Or if you're considering hiring somebody as an investment professional and asking them to manage a certain amount of assets for you, you would expect to have an initial meeting at no cost, just to get to know one another, see if it's a good fit. That would be standard in the industry.
Okay. And you can find those kinds of folks, obviously, in your phone book. I was going to say, I shouldn't say phone book. I don't think anyone in the world still has a phone. well, wherever you find phone
Steve
numbers
Moore.
These days, or the yellow pages, you know.
What are those?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have even gone in this direction. Well, anyway, but the easy way to do it would be to visit our website, moneywiselive.org. And we have a list of certified Kingdom advisors all over the country in various disciplines, including the ones we're discussing here. Gail, thank you so much for calling. Traverse City, Michigan. Abraham, what's your question for Rob?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question has to do with my wife and my retirement accounts. We have several varying accounts, 5 or 6 of them, and I was curious about trying to consolidate those under like an investment or a portfolio broker, someone who manages the account actively.
Yes.
Is that something that you would suggest to do?
I would. Yeah, I like that idea. Are these old 401ks, or do you have several IRAs? What are we talking about?
401ks from previous employers, as well as some personal investment portfolios that we've made over time.
Yeah, and all in, what do you have in the way of assets, investable assets?
Just under $350,000.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is a great idea, Abraham. Here's what this is going to do for you. Number one, you know, oftentimes you have duplication of investments across the investment strategy when you have multiple accounts, where when you put it together, you have a little more visibility as to, am I properly diversified without, you know, too much duplication in any one sector or area of the market, asset class. The second thing it's going to do is sometimes when you leave an old 401k, you separate from the company, the fees are a little bit higher. Number three, it's just going to make it more simple. Right now, you've got to go in and manage and monitor all these accounts, make sure they're all stay invested and rebalanced, keeping track of them. You put them all in one place or a couple of accounts. That's just going to make for things a bit simpler. And if you're going to hire an investment professional, you know, that would go a long way to consolidate that and reach a certain, you know, minimum level of assets under management. So I like that approach. I would, if you don't already have one, look for a certified Kingdom advisor there in Michigan. You could do that on our website at moneywiselive.org. Just click find a CKA. But this idea of combining everything makes a lot of sense.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
Thanks, Abraham. We do appreciate that. To Chatsworth, Georgia, not too far from where we're located. Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for holding. And what's your question for Rob West?
Yes, hi. My husband and I have been budgeting for about 7 years now, and he recently got a raise 2 years ago, right when our son was born. And wow. I was convinced that we were going to be able to take all of the money and save it, but, you know, that did not happen.
Sure.
As so many people say, like, oh, yeah, once you get a raise, the money just goes away. But I'm just wondering if that's like, I was really hoping, but with all the expenses, like we got life insurance and more health insurance. Is that typical? I mean, I know it is typical, but should I be doing something differently?
Yeah, you know, I completely understand what you're saying, Stephanie. And first of all, I don't want you to be discouraged. I mean, this is very typical because not only are you trying to address, you know, meeting all of the current expenses that you have, but when you add a member of the family, which is wonderful, but there's obviously expenses associated with that. And then you start, as you said, to think about, well, do we have the proper insurance coverages? And maybe we need to expand that. And, oh, now we need some more space. And maybe you're doing a little bit more traveling. I mean, whatever it is, expenses just tend to rise. So it all comes back to that spending plan that really you need to dial into. It doesn't matter what the income sources are, where they're coming from. The question is, can you afford to cover all of your expenses, your lifestyle, and the other objectives and goals that you have? And that's got to start with your spending plan or your budget, where you sit down and take a period of time, if you haven't already done it, and track everything you're spending. What are your fixed expenses? What are your discretionary? What are those non-recurring expenses that come quarterly or semi-annually? Those things that you, you know, you don't get a bill for, but they roll around every year. And if you haven't put money aside for them, now, you know, you're having to pull that out of reserves, or that month you're going under. I mean, you've been budgeting for a long time, so you know, you understand the mechanics of it, but I don't think you're missing anything other than the fact that, you know, unless you really dial into giving every dollar a name and planning for things that happen over a 12-month period based on true historical norms, especially given some of the increases you've had as of late, you're not going to have a plan that's ever going to work, because it's just not factoring everything in. And then once you have that plan that really dials into the accurate picture of what's going on, then you've got to have a system to control the flow of money in and out that works for you and your husband, whether that's a smartphone app or a true envelope system where you're putting cash in for your discretionary items and then spending out of that, or an Excel spreadsheet or whatever it might be. But you've got to find a system that works for you. And then once you have the budget and the system, you've got to put in place a money date. Where once a month you and your husband are sitting down analyzing what's happened over the last month, what's coming up moving forward, what course corrections do we need to make. I mean, this is a living and an active process, but it all starts with having a true picture of what it really takes to fund your household, not only over a 30-day period, but a 6-month and a 12-month period as well. I know I'm probably not telling you a lot of things that are brand new to you, but give me your thoughts on what I just said.
Yeah, I think if anything, it just reassures me that, you know, we do tell every dollar where it's going to go. And
yeah.
We sit down once a month, sometimes twice, to just touch base to make sure we're not going too far over. Or, you know, we're right on track with
yeah.
big expenses like groceries.
Sure.
But I think that having a whole picture of knowing, like, okay, what is our
lifestyle? Let me jump in. I'm going to have to catch up because we're out of time. But I want you to hold the line so we can talk off air. And I want to tell you how you can connect with one of our coaches. But I appreciate your call, Stephanie. We'll talk in just a moment.
All right, Stephanie, again, thank you very much. You've been listening to MoneyWise Live with your host, Rob West. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. And, of course, you're in the mix as well. Thanks so much for listening. Tell a friend about us and keep us in your prayers as we keep you in ours. Have a great remainder of your day. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of MoneyWise Live.